who will wear it more if the Detroit Lions do not win the Super Bowl this year? Because that's the expectation. NFL training camps open across the country. Pearl, good morning. How you doing?
Good. It's so funny. Something weird is happening on the show.
What's that?
You're starting off every hour with good morning, how are you doing? And you never have done that before in the past.
I want to see how you're doing.
No, you don't. What is it? Is there something? Is anyone else notice that? It is really putting me off. What do you mean, how am I doing? Like, I'm fine. I don't know. What do you want, an in-depth report? Like, how do I answer that?
Nothing has changed in the last 2 hours, Max.
Well, we are constantly welcoming in new audiences.
I'm doing great, so... new audience. And just in case you were worried, I'm all good.
Just being courteous. You know, they say good morning all the time on all these morning shows. Yes. That's, of course you're supposed to say good morning back. You're living in society.
A little bit behind the curtain. When we first started, I came in and I'm like, you know, most shows start off with a little chatter, a little polite chatter. And Maggie's wanted to get right into it. She said, nah, let's start immediately with the sports debate. And now we're back to chatter. I need a memo on these things.
No, good morning, Maggie.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I asked who's going to wear it more if the Detroit Lions do not win the Super Bowl. That's the first thing I said. Then right. I went to a courteous, hi, how are you? Well, and now I'm back to Dan Campbell and Jared Goff.
Okay, real quick, though. How you doing?
Well, I'm really losing it. No, I'm fine.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I'm having a crisis, and I wish somebody cared. No, I'm doing great. It was just a courteous thing. We're always welcoming in new audiences across the country.
Can I just, all right, let's get back to this Lions topic for a second. I feel like I'm being critical now. You said if they don't win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about here? For the Lions, the Detroit Lions, who haven't won a title since 1957, you're going to put it on Dan Campbell if he can't win the Super Bowl this year?
We're going to bite a kneecap off.
Well, I'm asking you who's going to wear it more, Dan Campbell or Jared Goff. Because if you're asking me whether or not the expectation for the Detroit Lions is Super Bowl or not, I don't care what happened in all of those bad years and disappointing and embarrassing years, because that's not today's Detroit Lions, Pearl.
Right, but I think the Lions took a step back, and I think they're viewed that way. They lost both coordinators. They have everybody's coming off a massive injury. I don't think that you can put them in that conversation. So honestly, I don't know about Jared Goff, but Dan Campbell's not going to wear it if they don't win the Super Bowl. That's why I think we big time disagree on this. I think he's very, very popular. He's turned around this franchise. He has a lot of rope left here. Like, if they don't win, maybe some fans would be disappointed, but Dan Campbell is the greatest thing to ever happen in this franchise.
Yeah, I think Dan Campbell is going to wear it even more than Goff, who's getting paid a lot and who is obviously the franchise quarterback now, an unlikely franchise quarterback the day that Goff-Matthew Stafford trade was made. But no, Dan Campbell is definitely going to wear it because you mentioned they lost both coordinators and specifically, and honestly on both sides, but I would say specifically on the offensive side, Ben Johnson always got all the credit for the creative, innovative stuff, and Dan Campbell always got all the blame when their fourth down stuff didn't work. Or got a lot of it, a lot more than I saw Jared Goff get. And so without Ben Johnson there to even take credit, lose credit, Dan Campbell's the one who's going to wear this if things go poorly, because I think that it'd be a culmination of losing in the NFC Championship game to the 49ers 2 years ago, losing to Jaden Daniels, a rookie, last year at home when you had the number one seed, even though they were injured. I get that the defense was a sieve because they were pulling guys off the street. But I don't think that the fan base is going to say, oh, Jared Goff is, you know, he's the one who has to get run out of town. First, I don't know if anyone's getting run out of town. But I think it would be less likely to stick with Goff and more likely to stick with Campbell, because fans will say, you're not adjusting. You're not adjusting to losing two coordinators and maybe having to play a different style to actually win these biggest games. And fans will always, I think, get on coaches, and specifically Campbell, if he doesn't feel like show that he's adjusted.
Okay. First of all, Campbell's, I think, an offensive guy, and the collapse was on defense. And I know he's a head coach, so that shouldn't matter. But I think Goff was a big part of that loss to the Commanders. The Lions looked great. Then he fumbled in the red zone. You can't do that, dude. He needs a big-time step up. I think Goff would be more of a problem. If you're looking at the Lions don't win this year, they're going to look at that situation and be like, can Jared Goff get us there? I don't think they're going to say, is Dan Campbell get us there? Because Dan Campbell, Ben Johnson was kind of a line. Like, he doesn't exist without Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell said, I want to be aggressive as all get out. And Ben Johnson, of course, liked to go on fourth down too. So I think that he does get some credit for the offense. I think if they can't get over the top, they might wonder, hey, we have all these great players around. Do we have the right quarterback?
Well, they just decided to pay Jared Goff, so they extended him already. I don't know how easily...
Well, that
easily,
was last offseason, right?
Right, but how easily can you... I bet that extension doesn't kick in until this season. How easily can you even move off from someone like him? And, you know, I don't think that the fans are doing this ironically. I think they're doing it because they really love him. The chance for Jared Goff, it rings out throughout every single Lions game at the draft when it was in Detroit 2 years ago. You're just getting the Jared Goff love. And I know there's a lot of Campbell love, but it's so much easier to second guess the decisions of head coaches than it is to just blame a guy for throwing a pick, because the receiver could have an issue, could be part of that interception, all of this stuff. It's a little, yeah, you want to blame Mark Andrews for dropping balls and things like that last year. That was kind of like very egregious. But for the most part, I think the head coach will wear it more than the players, especially Campbell, because of how aggressive he is. And, you know, for a player to want to go for it on fourth down, of course, the coach is supposed to be there to keep the players from, you know, getting over their skis. And Campbell gets wrapped up in it. So I think he would get more criticism, but maybe put a poll question.
Well, I mean, I think I think Campbell's one of the 5 to 10 safest coaches in the league. Like, he's going to get a lot of opportunity here. I mean, he has turned the Detroit Lions into one of the best teams in the league. That's not a small statement. That's huge. And he's just so beloved on that team. He's the ultimate players coach. He's just had so much success. I mean, for example, if you can win 13 or 14 games, even if you don't win in the postseason, that buys you a ton of time. Marty Schottenheimer eventually got fired with the Chargers, probably a mistake, but that was after a long, long time. Like, Dan Campbell has many, many years to try and figure this out. I think if Goff can't do it in the next 1 or 2 years, then they're going to maybe look at another quarterback, because their run game is the key to their whole thing. Like, Goff's good, but I think the fact that Ben Johnson had all these creative run plays and they had Montgomery and Gibbs coming at you at 1,000 miles an hour was the big difference for this team. So it's not even, like, I think it's going to be Goff who will be the first one out of there. Campbell's not going anywhere. If they'd be lucky to have him for the next 10 years, I'm telling you, he is the man there.
Who is under more pressure to win it all for Detroit? Is it Jared Goff or is it Dan Campbell? EJ, if you don't mind throwing up that poll, it's going to be a poll-heavy day because we've got nicknames to get.
That's a bit of a deceiving question, though. Who's under more pressure to win?
To win it all.
Yeah, but like, I think if the Lions don't win it all, who's gone first, Goff or Campbell? Is that it? Or is that not fair?
I don't think anyone's gone. I think there are going to be degrees of this, and because, like, this is not the same as the New York Giants or something where it's been atrocious and people have to get fired because it's embarrassing. That's not what this is. This is a different type of pressure. It's because you've been close and knocking on the door and you've disappointed. So yeah. I think is maybe the better question.
I think they'll move off Goff if they don't think he can take him over the top. I think they move off Goff way before Campbell. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, let's get to our nicknames.
Legends aren't born, they're nicknamed. It's Maggie and Perloff's search for the greatest nickname in sports.
All right, guys, we're through the first round, so let's get you some second round matchups now for two different regions that we're going to reveal now, and then you can go vote at Maggie and Pearl on X as we try to determine the greatest sports nickname of all time. Let's start with the Hoops and Handles region, which is into the second round. It's the number one seed, Air Jordan.
Yo, this is Mars Blackman, and this is my main man, Michael Jordan, and this is a pair of tight Air Jordans from Nike. This is something you can buy, and this is a patented, vicious, high-flying, 360 slam dunk. This is something you cannot do. Let me repeat myself. This you can buy. You cannot do this. Can. No!
Okay, Air Jordan faces off against the 9 seed in this nicknames bracket, the Greek Freak.
The token boom.
There you go. 5th seed in this region moves on. It's the Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant.
I had to separate myself. Because going through that time, I felt like there's so many things coming at once. It was just becoming very, very confusing. I had to organize things. So I created the Black Mamba. So Kobe has to deal with these issues, you know, all the personal challenges. The Black Mamba steps on court and does what he does.
Okay, Black Mamba was the 5th seed, Pearl. Just absolutely trounced over the 12th seed, Dr. Duncanstein, which I was bummed about because I think that's such a cool nickname. But the Black Mamba moves on.
He wasn't actually a doctor, though, Maggie. So that's what the end of the day. He was a PhD.
Don't burst the bubble. The 5th seed, the Black Mamba, will face off against the 13th seed, the Logo. So two Laker legends going up against each other in our nickname bracket. Let's move on. Hoops and handles. The 6th seed is the Iceman, George Gervin, against the 3 seed, Pistol Pete Maravich.
All right, hold it up. Pete Maravich, the New Orleans Jazz, in my opinion, one of the great, great gods that ever played the game. So many things he's done from the time he was a little bitty one to make basketball not only his life, but a part of his hands.
So that would be Pistol Pete, who took out Chocolate Thunder in the first round, is going up against the Iceman, George Gervin. Finally, in this hoops and handle region, the 2 seed moves on. It's Magic Johnson.
On the eve of his very first game, I would not impose upon any rookie in all of professional sports to talk to you. But I want you to know that this man has a smile that lights up a television screen from here to Bangor, Maine. His name is Magic Johnson, and Magic, it's a delight to have you aboard in the NBA.
Thank you. I'm very excited to start my first game, and I think our team is ready, and it's going to be a great season for the Los Angeles Lakers.
And the 2 seed, Magic Johnson, goes up against Perloff's idol. The 10 seed is the answer, Allen Iverson.
Practice.
And that was a close one, Pearl. AI barely squeaked by. That was a 10-7, technically an upset. The 7 seed was the Worm. That was 57% to 43%. So one of the tighter ones that we had.
So we got AI against Magic here?
Yep.
It's pretty good.
Heavyweights. Okay, let's move on to the Legends and Legacy. EJ wants to do that after the break. That's what you're giving me. Next hour? You want to give me that next hour? That's fine. You just come on the air and say it.
Sorry, I thought we were going to do the results for the other region. The results from last week.
No, I want to do Legends and Legacy. Let's open the voting. So I'm sorry, executive producer. I'm going to overrule you on this one.
Overruled.
I'm going to keep going. I think the audience wants more nicknames, and I'm going to oblige.
You should ask EJ how he's doing.
Good morning, EJ. How you doing?
Doing okay. Was doing better before. It's 5 seconds ago.
This is a new thing on the Maggie and Perloff show. Sorry.
The Legends and Legacy region. The 1 seed in this region is the Great One.
This day in hockey history, the Great One, Wayne Gretzky, scored the final goal of his NHL career.
Shot kicked away by Flaherty. Linden is pressured. Gretzky in front. Saved by Flaherty. The rebound. Score! It's taken a long time, but Wayne Gretzky is finally the all-time leading professional goal scorer.
Okay, I like that Canadian accent there. So, think that guy's from Canada? Ooh, he's from the Western Alberta. That's my Canadian accent.
Wait, the person who did the play-by-play?
No, the intro to that was one of the most Canadian sentences I've ever heard in my life.
I was going to say, the play-by-play was Sam Rosen. He's definitely not Canadian. Okay, the 1 seed, that's the Great One, Wayne Gretzky, faces off against the 8 seed in the Legends and Legacy region. That would be the Golden Boy, Oscar De La Hoya. We got some low seeds that made it through to the second round, Pearl. The 13 seed, the Flying Dutchman. That's Honus Wagner against the 12th seed, the Galloping Ghost.
Wow, 12-13. It's like McNeese State.
The 6th seed in the Legends and Legacy region is Charlie Hustle. He goes up against the 3 seed, the Great Bambino.
I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
It was signed by Babe Ruth.
Yeah. You keep telling me that. Who is she? What? What? The Sultan of Swat.
The King of Crash.
The Colossus of Clout.
The Colossus of Clout.
Babe Ruth!
The Great Bambino!
And the 2 seed in this Legends and Legacy region for the Maggie and Perloff greatest sports nickname of all time, the Say Hey Kid Willie Mays.
When discussing the topic of the greatest all-round players of all time, Willie Mays' name is almost always at the top or very near the top of the list. Throughout his 22-year Major League career, there seemed to be no shortage of ways in which the Say Hey Kid could take over a ballgame.
Got
for the catch, which must have been an optical illusion to a lot of people.
And the Say Hey Kid is up against the 10 seed, the Yankee Clipper. Of course, that's Joe D. So there
you go. I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
Hoops and Handles region, Legends and Legacy region, all open now for voting. I just wanted to mention, there's a 12-13 matchup. So two low seeds, Pearl, that got through. I want to tell you who they went up against in the first round. So the Galloping Ghost, Red Grange, narrowly got by Mr. Cub. Of course, Ernie Banks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then the Flying Dutchman as a 13 seed, really dominant over the Kansas Comet, your guy Gale Sayers.
Yeah, these are the older nicknames, so that's probably why. I'm telling you, I'm noticing a sweet spot. 80s and 90s were nicknames ruled.
Well, Gale Sayers is 80s, 90s. Gale Sayers?
50s, 60s. 50s,
okay, but the Flying Dutchman, Honus Wagner, was like the 20s.
Yeah, but
earlier.
I don't know. There's something
the Galloping Ghost,
something about the Fridge or the Round Mound of Rebound and all these guys, Human Highlight Reel. That seems to be the sweet spot. Although Dr. Duncanstein got knocked out.
And but, Mr. Cub, well, Ernie Banks, what year was Ernie Banks?
50s.
50s again?
60s, yeah.
60s? All right. I don't know, dude. I don't know if this holds up.
What? That my 80s guys? Yeah, no. It's going to be all, trust me, it's going to be these guys. Air Jordan, of course, the 80s. So we're team 80s, 90s. 90s NBA basketball, the mailman, everybody, we didn't even know their real names.
I know, but the mailman just got beaten out by the Iceman.
70s, 80s, 90s, 80s, 90s.
70s, 80s, 90s, 60s, I mean, Gervin 70s, was 80s, 80s, 90s. Yeah.
2000s, 2010s, 2020s too.
Again, we started this thing. There's a great article on why nicknames died in sports from 2010 in the Times. Like, now it's just SGA. Like, where's the creativity? Well, nobody has any creativity.
That's what they said? The reason why nickname died?
Actually, it was behind a paywall. I can't get to it. But come on. I mean, the nicknames are terrible now. The best players, the Joker, that's the best we got.
The Big Dumper.
Joker's a good one.
Big Dump. Well, basketball has to drive this thing. Basketball has the best nicknames. And as you guys said, there's a lot of just like, you take KD. There's no creativity.
The Durantula.
That was good, but everybody calls him KD. SGA. I don't know. It's not the same. It's SGA. Not the same. It's in my opinion.
Brunson Burner.
He's nobody so calls him that except you guys.
You know what's funny though is that I was talking to this about yesterday, Breen. And I was naming. She's like, "What about Bodega Cat?" I'm like, "That's a good one." And she's like, "Brunson Burner." Like, she's like, "That's a good one." I'm like, "The Knicks have good nicknames. Everyone else, the rest of the league sucks."
But I think Cat is more known as Cat. Isn't that sort of a nickname in a sense?
Call Anthony Towns, baby. Yes.
Yeah, but now he's Bodega Cat because he's in New York, which is a great nickname.
Yeah,
no, for
is
sure.
Is that as iconic as the Mailman?
Well, give him a minute.
He just got here.
Yeah. You tried to trade him in the offseason.
Oh, my God!
He needs to play in a couple finals like Karl Malone, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he ain't going to do that. So that is not going to become iconic.
Easy, all right, Poppy. Bookmark that.
Easy, Poppy.
Yeah.
Needs to go back in time and somehow be on the dream team.
That, too.
He needs to be one-tenth as good as Karl Malone. We're talking about Karl Anthony Towns right now, right? We're not talking about Karl Malone.
Oh, I'm sure he'll get in the Hall of Fame. They all do. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, voting is open. Hoops and Handles region, Legends and Legacy region. We have more results for you later on in the show. We're also asking a question, who is under more pressure to win it all, or who will wear it if the team falls short? Jared Goff or Dan Campbell? We're talking about the Detroit Lions. So much to do. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning, everybody.
Wait, we've been starting the show in a new way where Maggie asked me how I'm doing, and I have no idea how to answer that. But
it's those hard-hitting questions you get just, right here on the Maggie and Perloff Show.
But
how you doing?
I want to go back to 1 second, the nickname bracket.
Yeah, it's live.
I was thinking about it all break. Nicknames were better. I don't think there's any argument. And these guys tried to sell me Brunson Burner and Bodega Cat. Nicknames used to be required. If you came up in basketball, you had to have a nickname. And I just think all the good ones are already taken and people have given up.
What was your nickname when you were playing in high school? That's not a nickname. That's just half of your name.
Everyone called me Pearl. People didn't even know my name was Andrew. Like it was that, like Magic. I was kind of like Magic.
Okay. See, exactly. I think your nickname was actually McLovin.
That wasn't my nickname either. That's someone else's nickname. That is a nickname from the guy from Superbad. So neither of those
actually
his
legal name.
Yeah,
what?
It was his fake ID, right?
It's his real name.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah,
like a sexy hamburger.
He also was definitely from Hawaii.
But when we're talking about basketball, used to be you came up and Earl the Pearl Monroe, the logo. Well, actually, they didn't call him the logo until later. Dr. J. Now it's just it's not the same, except for Greek Freak.
Definitely, I agree with that. Yeah. Just, I was saying the nicknames are good.
But, yeah, they are.
But the rest
of Brunson Burger is
awesome. The rest of the league is terrible.
This
is the problem. It's a problem that I keep talking about where everyone just wants to be initials. It's so lame.
CP3.
Yeah. Like that was like one of the, he was one of the first ones. In fact, this is another thing we could blame Chris Paul for.
Oh, here we go.
He gets a lot of blame for other things. I'm blaming him for this. He had the best initial number nickname, but then everyone just started copying him, and now everyone is just an initials and number.
PG-13.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think that's a play on the movie rating, isn't it?
Still lame. We already had CP3, like CP3PO. Yeah. We don't need any more.
My last name's Rodriguez. I'll go by Rated R.
The Rated R superstar, Manny Rodriguez.
Ooh, and bars.
Well, that one's already taken, yeah. But...
Oh,
the worst
not a wrestling fan, obviously.
If we did the bad nicknames, I'm sorry, the one that always makes me cringe, Playoff P.
Well,
yeah, because of what actually happens on the court with Paul George.
Yeah, that's like how we have the drop about Championship Chuck.
No one
calls him that.
But I think Air Jordan's going to win this thing.
Playoff P and lose all the time.
It feels to me the trends in this nickname bracket, it feels like Air Jordan's going to come out on top because Michael Jordan is better than LeBron.
They don't call me Championship Chuck.
Well, King James already got eliminated.
Yeah.
He's already out of this bracket, so it doesn't have to be a LeBron like Jordan debate. It was a LeBron Dominique Wilkins debate. Dominique's human highlight film won.
Air Jordan's going against Greek Freak right now, though. That is a strong modern one.
Yeah, yes. But it's going to lose. It's going to lose to Air Jordan, I think. But anyway, don't let us cloud what you want, America and Canada. You can go to @MaggieandPearl and wherever you are in this great country
and the world.
At Maggie and Pearl at X.
Yeah, you don't think people in Indonesia are voting on Black Mamba versus the logo?
If they aren't, they should be, and that's your cue to go vote now at Maggie and Pearl. Let's get to some headlines. What's
the
up?
The Great Bambino!
Well, coworkers, he did it again yesterday.
Hey.
Scotty Scheffler.
I invited you, sir.
Won the Open Championship.
I said, what about Bogus?
That's our non-existent trip to Wrigley Field so that half of us can wear diapers.
Oh, it's not happening? Scotty Scheffler won the Open Championship yesterday and made it all about that pesky son, Bennett, who tried to get to dad on the 18th green during the trophy presentation, but kept falling down.
You know, I don't think he's ever been up a hill that big before. I felt kind of bad for him. He just kept falling down. But, you know, that's part of the learning curve and growing up. And, it's very cool to have him here. And, you know, he obviously has no clue what's going on. He just wants to spend some time with me. I hadn't really seen him much of the day. So, it's pretty cool.
Yes, young Bennett has no idea that
just
dad
walk, buddy. Just walk.
Now won two majors this year, 4 total, and now needs only the U.S. Open for the career Grand Slam.
Now, as a parent, you know, you try and schedule your day with both parents. Like, okay, Scotty, you're going to take care of him after you win on 18. You get him for the next hour there. I'm going to go get my nails done.
Can you take him for a second?
I really
need a nap.
Like, the mom is just, like, happy he won, so he'll take the kid for an hour. Right?
Take him to your press conferences. Take him to the post-event dinner.
Yeah.
Get me away from Bennett for 2.5 hours.
That 5 minutes while he's doing that post-match press conference, she's asleep in the corner somewhere. Just even 90 seconds. He'll take
pounding a high noon.
I know. It's like the Jim Gaffigan joke because he had 6 kids. Like, the only moment of peace he got was after he closed a minivan door and got to walk around the car to the driver's side. That was the only 10 seconds of peace he got in his day. The only piece that Mrs. Scheffler gets is when he gets to win a tournament.
Yeah, when Bennett is like walking around the 18th green.
I just thought Scotty didn't care about golf. His wife does.
She probably wants him to play for a really long time.
Yeah, so he's not at the house.
What do the Schefflers do with their money? They don't have a nanny, and they go to Chipotle.
The more money they get, the more nannies they can afford later.
Right, but I don't think they're a big nanny family. They
boarding
try
and, school. I mean, there's plenty of ways to dump off your kid later on.
It feels like the Schefflers are trying to cosplay as a middle-class American family. Does anyone else, you think it's fake?
Well, Kirk Cousins is the same thing, and a lot of guys do this.
Yeah,
it's like, let's pretend that you're not insanely rich.
Huh. Yeah. Maybe that's why I don't like Kirk Cousins after watching him in quarterbacks.
Well, how about the other way? It's nice they don't flaunt it. They're not flaunting it. That's admirable.
But I also don't need, you don't need to go to Supercuts either. I don't need
that
Supercuts
commercial.
That gets
me so irrationally angry. Oh, I've been going to Supercuts for 25 years. Bro, go to a Dominican, man. You're in Atlanta. Go to...
How about just leave it out of the show, Netflix?
No,
he has to be a regular guy.
No, but that was... It's great clips, right? And that was whatever. A sponsor. Clips.
I was going to say, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he's got action on sport. Of course he does. Great clips, sport clips, whatever it is. Kirk Cousins is getting something on the back end there.
He definitely probably owns eight of them.
Do you think any person who learns that Kirk Cousins has a sponsorship with Great Cuts or whatever this place is called, it's like, you know what? I'm gonna go there now. Kirk Cousins,
he looks great.
He got a good haircut. He did get a good haircut that day. She did a nice job on him.
Yeah, actually, she was quite pleasant. Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been a barber who had a client in his chair and I want this and
give
it's
me
a
the
picture
Kirk
of Kirk Cousins.
Is this his own headshot?
His headshot. Get out of here.
Yo, let me get that Cousins, yo.
He was.
Say less, fam.
That Kirko chains, man.
Do you guys remember when the New York Times tried to say that Travis Kelce invented the fade?
Oh, amazing. My God.
New York Times is so washed.
Oh, it's crazy. Ooh. But the other part, too, is Kirk Cousins was also desperately trying to get recognized in that clip, and he did not. No one knew who he was.
Oh, nobody in all of Atlanta knew who he was.
He's only the starting quarterback for this
local football team. Not
but,
at the drive-thru, not to get your hair cut, which would be the two biggest places you might get recognized.
You like the Saints?
Well, it's funny. EJ says that Kirk Cousins is, you're basically saying he's not marketable.
Oh, well, I'm just saying, look, is you telling me like a super cool guy? I don't know. I'm trying to think of a cool football player. Lamar Jackson. So Lamar Jackson goes here to get his hair braided or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, well, Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's a superstar. Kirk Cousins?
What?
Yeah. But you're
if you're a middle-aged white guy in Topeka, haircuts. Kansas, you're not going to bring a picture of Lamar Jackson.
Right. I think you're not realizing how many Kirk Cousins there are in this country.
Why give them Josh Allen?
He moves a different needle.
See, Josh Allen's
head? But Josh Allen doesn't even have great hair, though, I would argue.
No, he has a great head of hair.
He's also 10 years younger, not a dad.
My point, why would you want to, if you're an older guy, I don't want to look like Kirk Cousins. I want to look like Josh Allen.
I want to look like Tom Brady, no matter what age he is.
His hairline is proceeding, not receding.
No, yeah.
That's going to be a real expensive cut.
Rod style.
Yeah, you need a surgeon, not a barber.
Gotta
go that out.
Got to go to Turkey for that one. Istanbul.
I think that's a great question.
Comes to you.
We should do a
Tom
quarterback
Brady.
Hair ranking. There's got to be, Burrow. Burrow's got cool hair.
Oh, does he ever?
Burrow's got a great haircut. Mahomes is up there.
I always confuse them. Mahomes Sam Howell and Sam Hartman. Yeah. Which one has the hair? Faggy?
Hartman.
Yeah. Okay.
But Josh Allen, I'm looking at some of his hair. It's pretty, he does not care much.
Worked for Haley.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's a good head of hair.
Yeah, but he doesn't seem to do much styling. Like, he's not like Joe Burrow, who has a new haircut in every scene in quarterback.
From Fireball, California. He hasn't put a comb through his hair in 10 years.
Poll question. Does Josh Allen have a good head of hair?
He's got a good head of hair, but I think...
Do you associate Josh Allen with good hair? I'm trying to get to an update here.
Burrow is much more interested in different styles.
Like, well, he dyes it.
Yeah,
all that.
Burrow is actually much more about fashion. Does Josh Allen even wear anything interesting?
Jalen Hurts, whoever his barber is, he must have the same barber as Jalen Rose, because that hairline is just...
Oh, it's right angles.
Pristine. I'm him and Jalen both paying out $150.
You could teach a math class. It's like trigonometry.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say something here. I think that's spray painted.
Oh, you
Jalen
think he's going
Hurts? Wow. He's too young.
He had the dreads forever.
Yeah, it's not really great on the hair.
You think he's filling in?
You think he Billy Jocalone'd it?
Oh.
What?
Oh,
that's a tattoo, sir.
Wait. What are you guys talking about? Billy, who works here, is one of our colleagues.
Yeah.
Sits in the bullpen.
Yeah.
He has spray-painted hair?
It's not spray-painted. It's tattooed.
Yeah.
I'm still... It's not computing in my mind.
It's like artificial stubble.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
He's open
it's
about
tattooed?
This? He's okay with us talking about this?
Yeah.
It's tattooed like
a tattoo artist.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I mean, I don't know. Do you go to a tattoo artist? You go to a different place, but it's like it's not the little what looks like follicles are
tattoo
little ink dots.
No, listen, women can get like makeup tattooed on their
eyebrows,
on their eyebrows, wherever. I didn't know that.
What's LeBron do?
That
he does
hair replacement.
Beijing,
right?
I thought.
He uses hair plugs
like Wayne Rooney. Plugs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wayne Rooney. Oh my God.
I'm sorry. It was Carlos Boozer who
made a ton of money off of promoting that.
I mean,
Brian Urlacher too.
Yeah, same. Brian. Yeah.
Sorry, I think this is Jalen Hurts slander. This is not a spray. I'm looking at his hair. I see pictures where his haircut isn't like fly and like no. It's definitely hair.
You want to take a look at something that's very dramatic before and after Mohamed Salah. The soccer player for Liverpool, Egyptian soccer player, that dude had no hair about 6 years ago, and now he has a full head of hair.
I think it's just, well, way more commonplace now. I've not heard about the tattoo thing, but...
By the way, do you guys remember when Jalen Hurts shaved the goatee? I just looked at it again. Yeah. It's startling.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Yeah.
Like when James Harden got rid of his beard.
He went from dashing, handsome quarterback to normal guy on the street
definitely
in
his draft
2
stock,
seconds.
His draft stock plummeted because he did not look as good anymore.
Who is this?
Oh, my God. He looks naked.
Yeah, it happened like 2 years ago, and we're like, who is that guy? So it's not even the hair that matters. It's that goatee that defines
him. He looks like the guy that enters the Bachelorette and loses in like the third round.
What's
the third episode, he's gone already.
Okay. What's facial hair to men, EJ?
Makeup, like women. It's the same.
Yeah, I can't picture it, you two without your facial hair. It's like your superpowers.
Oh, yeah, I would never shave this beard.
Yeah. Manny, your mustache.
It's three of us with facial hair.
I'll just go back to wherever I used to be.
This is like when Deion Sanders said that he has two sons, and it turns out he has three.
Damn it.
No, you're Deion Jr.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, we don't forget about Shiloh.
Don't forget Shiloh.
Manny Shiloh, you're Deion Jr.
You got two sons. Nope, you got three, Prime.
And let's not forget Shiloh.
Shiloh, we don't forget. Deion Jr., very much forgot.
What about Shiloh?
It's sad when people forget Shiloh, too. He's constantly reminding us about him.
Yeah, true.
Deion Jr. literally behind the camera shooting Dad. Don't forget about Shiloh video. And he's like,
what's Wrigley like, Dad?
I've got two sons.
Did you wear a diaper to Wrigley, Dad?
Oh, man. Mm. All right, Bogus. We got time. I'm trying to get to your update.
Nice facial hair, Bogus.
Yeah, I know, whatever. Things happen.
Scott Scheffler's got a nice little beard thing going.
I'm sure he does.
We're not getting a highlight.
You think Bennett will grow a beard in a bit?
The baby?
Oh, yeah.
Kaplan has got his marching orders.
Let's get Bennett, a two-year-old with a beard.
When we did Baby Manny AI version, and he had that full mustache.
Who is the golfer who
cannot
recently...
Cannot see that.
Didn't a golfer recently win? Was it Scotty and the baby had an accident?
Yep.
Yeah.
That was at the PGA.
That was Bennett, too? So we really know details about Bennett's life.
We know too much about Bennett.
Yeah. It was
it's all
so
fun and games till the kid blows out
the diaper. I had a thought about it since Bogus is not doing updates.
surprise, you know,
you can weigh in on this. So Bennett was walking towards Scotty after he won the Open Championship yesterday, and like a PGA official had to help him up and carry him over. Like, is that if you're the PGA official, you're just allowed to pick up somebody else's kid? Like, it's a very awkward situation. I feel like the employees never know what to do with Bennett Scheffler. Like, he's not a friend or anything. He's just some random employee. He's going to pick up the kid and carry him to Scotty Scheffler?
I didn't see it, but generally strangers don't pick up your kids.
Well, this is happening at all the majors
now. Because he keeps sitting them down, like, right in the middle of the clubhouse. Yes. Just like, I'm sorry, I got to sign this championship card. Meanwhile, I have nowhere to put this baby.
Yes. Yeah.
The floor.
It looked like the baby fell and couldn't get up, though.
Yeah,
I feel like he had to pick him up.
He's all right. He'll get up.
But it was also very British / Northern Ireland. Like, he had a blazer on. He, like, was delicately, didn't want to touch him, but he knew he needed help to get up and get to his dad. So
this little bugger.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of awkward because he doesn't know Scotty Scheffler and he just picked up his baby, right? Like, you don't want strangers picking up your kid.
I don't want strangers talking to my kid. I don't want strangers picking up my kid. Some guy booped my kid in the airport recently and I almost clubbed him.
Oh, unacceptable.
I know. What? It was really uncomfortable.
Societal
and I should have
cues.
Said something at the time and I didn't and I was mad at myself the rest of the day. You can't touch my kid's stomach.
Damn the intervals.
As you're walking by, you weirdo.
But also, the baby, Bennett, where's the mom? Where's the family? Like,
that's
he's out alone.
If I were the PGA official, I would look at the baby and turn away.
Yeah,
yeah,
too.
Completely walking. Ignore it.
I would have walked away.
I'm not babysitting that kid. You're not paying me to babysit him.
Yeah, he fell, but it wasn't that steep of a hole. I mean, he wasn't going to fall into a sand trap.
He just tumbled down.
Into a sand trap.
I would point at him and laugh and say, ha ha, baby fell, and turn away.
Yeah, it's not like he fell into that creek at Augusta.
That would be fine. That would be something.
Good grief. All right, now we're going to break. 888-710-4ISN. Bogus, his first day back from non-vacation, just stewing. Okay, lots to do, including it's Monday, which means the M&P 500, whose stock is up and whose stock is down after a big weekend. Welcome to the Maggie and Perloff Show. We do this every Monday, a little stock up, stock down after a big weekend. Pearl, whose stock is up in your opinion?
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? I think we're all thinking the same thing, and I'm glad I got to go first. It's got to be Harris English, American golfer who was in contention all week, then fell back a little bit, then got super hot. He was second place in the British Open, and his name is Harris English. And this dad joke pun is not catching hold of anybody. See, does everyone understand? English was his last name.
Yeah, we get it. We get it. But we got it actually, on Friday.
I gotta be honest. To be four shots off of Scotty at this tournament was really impressive. And he's actually very strong in the majors. I think he might break through at some day. Was a Georgia Bulldog. Seems like a good dude. Harris English is going to be my stock up despite finishing second at Royal Port Rush.
It's a good one. I am going to go with the WNBA players because the All-Star game wasn't that great. It was kind of boring, I thought, but a lot of these games are really boring. It's not just them.
Yeah.
But the stock up, that it looks like the entire world, the fan base for sure, everyone is on their side in this ongoing labor negotiation. Yep. And that doesn't happen with men's sports. I don't know why, but people side with ownership and the billionaires all the time. And I never get it, but they do. And they take it out on the players because the players' salaries are public and the owner's salaries are not public, generally. And I like that this is stock up for the NBA, the WNBA players, Pearl. They wore T-shirts that said, pay us what you owe us. And while Nafisa Collier's collecting her All-Star MVP trophy, the crowd is chanting, pay them, pay them.
Yeah.
This is good for them that the public sentiment's on their side.
But don't you think it's because their pay is so ridiculously low? I mean, you think if men got 9% of revenue and they came in the league at $66,000, don't you think they would support the men?
I have no idea, but I know do. This is like, stock up for the women right now.
Usually they don't. I think it's a different dynamic. It's usually millionaires versus billionaires.
Right.
This is not even
thousandaires
figure. This is thousandaires. I mean, if you have to get a roommate. Okay, can I do another stock up?
Yeah.
Can I go with George Karlaftis, who signed a new deal for the Chiefs?
Yeah, big one.
The Chiefs, remember they traded Tyreek Hill? And we're like, oh, they're going to fall apart. And that draft, I think they got O.J. McDuffie and George Karlaftis. Like, this team drafts really well. And I feel like we don't respect these players as much. He's a great player who goes way under the radar. But they signed him to a four-year deal. $62 million guaranteed. This is sort of a stock up Chiefs. They also signed Trey Smith recently, and we didn't talk about it much. Like, they are quietly, like, still going to be good for a long time. And it's really not just him, but the whole team. Like, gosh, this team knows what they're doing. I just want to throw that out there.
Yep, they are good, and they continue to be great. Stock always up for the Chiefs.
Give us a stock down, because I did two stock ups.
I'm going to go stock down, Cowboys. You got Tyler Smith out here saying that the Super Bowl is the expectation and it's a quote-unquote realistic goal. Don't do that. Don't do that to your fans. Don't do that. And I'm not saying that the players shouldn't be thinking Super Bowl. Fine. But don't do that. Don't... Don't create this like sort of false hope. I don't know. To say it's a goal, it's not a realistic goal, okay? It's not, because your team didn't make the playoffs last year. And the idea that you're going to go from no playoffs to win the Super Bowl, how about make the postseason? That should be the realistic goal. And I'm not even sure how realistic that is, but that should be your goal. Make the postseason, start delivering on Super Bowl expectations. Feels like Jerry 2.0. And again, he should care. It's his livelihood. But realistic goal to make the playoffs, or excuse me, to win the Super Bowl, stock down.
You know, I think I'm okay with unrealistic saying we're going to make the Super Bowl. Isn't that the goal? Isn't that what they're supposed to say?
He said it's a realistic goal that the Cowboys win the Super Bowl. They haven't won the Super Bowl since 1995, but suddenly it's a realistic goal they're going to win in 2025.
But, you know, the opposite is saying, like, no, we don't think we can win a championship. That would be crazy. So you're not going to say that. I give much more leeway with these things. Like, yeah, you're kind of saying the right thing.
How about the Chiefs wouldn't even say it's a realistic goal to win the Super Bowl? I would say I'm going to go cliche if I'm him. We're taking each game as it comes. I'm doing the one game at a time thing.
But we kind of kill people for being boring for that.
I mean,
one day at a time. Yeah.
Tyler Smith is still boring. He's a great player, but he can still be. This is a must be boring situation. Let Jerry not be boring. Let Steven not be boring.
I think you got to come out and say that. Okay. Can I do another stock up?
Wow, all stock. You're very positive today.
I just feel positive.
Yeah.
Okay, and I learned a little bit about this from Andrew Bogus's update, even though he's mad at all of us.
Yep.
Because we keep forgetting he's the fifth person here.
Wah, wah, wah.
Can I jump on, am I allowed to jump on the Milwaukee Brewers bandwagon? I'm a Phillies fan, and I sort of root for the Dodgers because they're cool. But tell me about these Milwaukee Brewers. 10 in a row, just swept the Dodgers. Hello, small market, mid-major team. This could be really good for baseball. And I want the Phillies to win it all, but now I'm thinking, well, if the Brewers win it all, this would be incredibly exciting.
Just a bit outside.
This goes against everything you've ever said about professional sports.
In what sense?
You think that we need dynasties, that you only want stars.
Yes.
These are all the things that you're saying nobody's going to watch this, that, and the other. The ratings are going to be terrible. All the things that you say and said about other sports, you're now completely throwing out the window because you love the Milwaukee Brewers?
Well, I do think there's something about really strange anomalies that are really interesting. And I've always had a soft spot for the Brewers. It's just one of those franchises that you just like. You know what I mean? Like, I know you're a Mets fan.
Yeah, so no, all the other teams in the NL, I can appreciate them, but I'm not rooting for
them. The Brew Crew, Bob Uecker, that slide, they've always been an incredibly likable. Like, what did Milwaukee ever do to anybody?
The former American League team, the Milwaukee Brewers?
Listen, things change, Manny.
Yeah, way, way, way back in the day, they were universally liked because they had every slugger in the league, and all they did was hit home runs and not win World Series. The other thing, too, is like they've never really gotten in the way of anybody. You're right, I'm going against my own sports rules, but would you have to agree, if they actually went all the way, that'd be an incredible achievement because they are not a big payroll.
Yeah, but that we just saw the Diamondbacks play a couple years ago, and you lamented that and said it was terrible for the sport.
They beat the Phillies. Of course I said it was terrible.
Yeah, but your allegiance to the Phillies is very up and down.
No. My guy, Schwarbs, hit a grand slam this weekend. It's all good. I can't believe I thought you would like that one.
No, it's just, I like it. It's fine. It's fine. What was not good a month ago is now great.
I thought it was because I'm rooting for another NL team other than the Phillies.
No, you can do what you want to do there. Okay, my final stock down, and this is going to be across the aisle here, so it's not like I'm calling out one or the other, but we just want politics out of sports, right? Can we agree there? Politics out of sports? Isn't that what we all want? We don't want politics and sports, right? That's as generally as people say. So now Trump wants to change the commander's name back to the old name, or else he is threatening to withhold funding for their new stadium. Nobody wants that. Am I right? Am I wrong?
This situation, I think, yes. Yes.
Right here, this is what I'm saying, even for the Washington Commander fans. If you're a fan of somebody else, maybe stay out of it. But if you are a Commander fan, Pearl, things are finally turning around. You have Jaden Daniels. You just went to the NFC Championship game. Now is not the time to start messing around with the old nickname versus the new nickname. We're here in the Commander's world. They are back on the map. The bad owner is gone. Arrow pointing up for the Commanders. Now is not the time to rehash this old debate. Am I right?
I think you're discounting the fact that the only reason they're not called the old name is because of politics. So politics already had a big say in this actual topic. You're saying keep politics out of sports. The only reason they're called the Commanders is because of politics.
Well, was that because also there were people who were Native American who said this was offensive? Is that politics?
Yes, I think that falls into politics.
But maybe I'm saying then keep politicians out? Is that parsing
words there? Well, politicians were behind the name change, though, I believe.
Because people said it was offensive, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying I don't want that old name, but I'm just saying I think there was political parts of that sort.
Finally, things are looking up for the Commanders, right?